everyone. Welcome to No Smut Shaming. I'm Crystal.
And I'm Kristen.
And we're here to discuss all your favorite romance reads.
And all the dirty details.
This week, we'll be talking about Mia Sosa's book, The Worst Best Man.
But first, I will say we are pre-recording this episode. We don't usually pre-record this far in advance, right. But the week this episode comes out is hopefully the week I'm getting married. I say hopefully because I was,
fingers crossed,
I know, supposed to get married back in April. Mm-hmm. So take two is November.
Take two and final take.
Right. Hopefully final take. So speaking of weddings, you moonlight as a wedding photographer.
I do.
So what are some horror stories that you've witnessed in your time?
So the one that always comes to mind is the time that I was a second shooter. And so I showed up to the church and it just felt kind of ominous. And I was like, what's going on? You know, I thought there'd be more people, more, you know, hustle and bustle. And so I find the first shooter and I was like, what's going on? He's like, not so good. And I was like, what's going on? And so apparently the bride wanted to call off the wedding.
The day of.
And so I was like, no, you got to be kidding me. And he said that the bride and the groom were downstairs talking to the preacher and basically figuring out, are they going to go through with this or not?
What?
And so it was like so quiet. We're just sitting there because there's nothing to take pictures of. Like nothing looked really set up. It's like she had already made the decision.
Wow.
So we're sitting there and we're like, okay, what do we do? What do we do? And then all we hear is the groom's mother barge upstairs and she's like, wedding is off. And I was like, oh no. What do we do? And so he goes over and talks to the family and he was just like, I mean, they've already paid. And so he's like, if you need us to call people. I was like, what?
Are you trying to sign you up for more activities?
Call the family. People were flying in already. Wow. Like they just hadn't showed up yet. And so, yeah, she called it off and the wedding was off. And so that was it.
You know what? But good for her, because I feel like there's a fair amount, not a fair amount, but like there are some brides who wake up the wedding day and have that feeling like this isn't going to work. And they go through with it because of the guilt.
Yeah, because of the commitment. But the thing is, I talked to Jeremy about the engagement session. And he goes, I knew something was wrong during the engagement session. He goes, she seemed just so withdrawn and just like you could tell she wasn't where she should be mentally.
Really?
Yeah. And so fast forward, we got a little snoopy. We were looking at her Facebook account. Well, come to find out, she started dating her personal trainer.
No, stop.
And I think that's what was holding her back. I think she had feelings for somebody else.
Wow.
Just saying.
Yeah. What a bomb.
So that was my biggest one. But there was also a time where I was in a wedding. And so this is where I'm going to give you a little advice about you pay for what you get. So my friend had asked a friend's son to take pictures at the wedding. Well, he shows up with a film camera, like you gotta load the film in, you know, and this is definitely in like the 21st century. And so I was outside doing something and then I look over and then I see him open the back of the camera. And I was like, no, it was like one of those slow motion things. And I was like, what? Like, if you know what you're doing, you don't do that in broad daylight.
Right.
Like you need a.
Well, they have those dark rooms.
You need a dark room for that. And he's just like, bloop. I was like, well, there goes all her pictures.
Wow.
She didn't know. But I was like, ooh, I got to tell her. Well, as we were getting ready,
oh my God.
Another bridesmaid wanted to take one of those paint sticks and like ride on the car like just married.
Yeah.
Well, it was a blue paint stick and she was pretty close to the bride. And was like, it was the side of the bride. Somehow the cap accidentally popped off and then the blue paint splattered on the side of her wedding dress.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I was just like, well, what else could go wrong?
That's a bad one, though.
That's a bad one.
Because blue paint all over the white.
It was royal blue.
Oh, my gosh.
And she's just, like, trying to hold back tears. And surprisingly, she didn't rip her head off. I mean, I don't know how. But somebody had a tide stick, and we just kind of started going to town, trying to get it out. And luckily, like I said, it was on the side of her dress. So it was light. And
wow.
But there were no pictures anyway, so it doesn't matter.
What's worse, the paint on the dress or the pictures? I feel like the pictures.
I think the pictures, because
worse.
If you had a decent photographer, they could at least clean it up in editing.
Or you could at least have a photo to laugh about it later.
Right, but she had neither.
That is rough.
And then there was one time I was also a second shooter at a wedding, and this was like at a country club, very fancy, a lot of money. The bride was marrying, apparently, into royalty.
Oh my gosh.
So she was marrying a man that their family owned a car dealership.
Sure.
Car dealership. And then the bride is just like freaking out in her room about something. And then the bridesmaids are like, look, you're a so-and-so now. Insert whatever last name
like,
of dealership.
You're a Kennedy.
Right. You can ask for whatever you want and they will give it to you. And I was just like, okay, it's just a car dealership. You're not a Kennedy. And so the whole family was just kind of weird to me because we don't typically photograph when people are eating at the reception, right?
Yeah.
Why would you want those photos?
I don't need photos of friends eating.
Right. And honestly, you need to give your photographers a moment to breathe and eat as well because sure. they've been on their feet for like 12 hours. And so we're sitting down in the hallway. The groom's father comes out and he's just like, what are you guys doing?
I don't pay you to sit.
The first photographer was pregnant, like 6 months pregnant. So she needed to sit down. And he's like, what are you guys doing? And we're like, well, we don't photograph people when they're eating because for one, it makes them uncomfortable. And two, we need to take a break. And he was just like, he just walked away. And yeah. I was like, okay.
Oh my gosh. These people.
So my last story.
You have so many good ones.
I have so many. I shot a wedding. And one tradition is that the couple has to go to each table and just be like, thank you for coming. And they take pictures together and they do wishes, but they also take a drink together. It's not like they're drinking wine or, you know, something light. They're drinking Crown Royal like it's wine. And so imagine going to each table, maybe 15 tables.
Oh my gosh.
And then taking a drink of Crown Royal. So needless to say, everybody at the wedding was sloshed.
Oh, geez.
Like there was one point where I looked over and there was somebody sitting in the chair, just slumped over, completely passed out. And his kid was over there just like, you know, I'd like to go home now.
Oh my gosh. I've been to my fair share of weddings.
Right.
I've probably been to like 20, 25 weddings. Mm-hmm. One in particular stands out to me. And I typically am not like a judgy person when it comes to weddings. I'm kind of like, do whatever you want. However, I went to one wedding in California. It was a Disney wedding. And it wasn't like touches of Disney. Uh-huh. It was like a Disney wedding. She showed up in a carriage.
Well, of course, right?
Which like on its own is fine.
Right.
But then whenever I went to go see what table I was at, mm-hmm. I was at the Dumbo table.
Ooh, was that like a slap in the face?
I did love it. But like each table was themed and they were all like pastel colors and all of the bridesmaids looked like Easter eggs. I mean, it was it was a lot. Mm-hmm. That wedding in particular really stands out to me. But I do like to go to weddings.
But I think those Disney weddings are really expensive too.
Oh, it had to have been.
Yeah. I will say this, and I might be partial because I am a photographer, but I do think you pay for what you get. I think if you're going to spend all this time on this one day, at least get a good photographer.
Like yeah.
A good photographer can make a mediocre background look amazing.
Yeah.
And so just remember that, listeners. You pay for what you get.
But I would love to hear if anybody has some crazy wedding stories.
Would love it. Whenever you get married, you hear your vows the one time, right?
Yeah.
And then that's it. You don't think about them ever again, really. But when you're a wedding photographer, you get to hear those same vows over and over again. And you would think, oh, you become a little desensitized. But I always take a step back and don't take any pictures during that time because it's like that moment I get to be reminded of the wedding
vows.
That's
so sweet.
I always go home after a wedding and I'm like, I love you. Like, you know, it's just a reminder of what you're doing and why you're doing it.
Yeah, well, hopefully my wedding doesn't have any more major. I feel like I've had my major problem.
I think you've actually handled it pretty well.
I don't know.
I think most brides would have lost their minds by now.
I feel bad for every bride who's
trying to get married 20 and 20.
Yeah. So hopefully the second round goes a little bit better for us.
It will. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on, kind of, because we're doing a wedding-themed book this week. Mm-hmm. This book is The Worst Best Man by Mia Sosa. This has a 3.61 on Goodreads, and this was recommended to us by quite a few listeners.
Oh.
So I've been really excited to dive into this one.
So a quick little book summary is Lena Santos is a successful wedding coordinator and has been recently given a great opportunity. The twist, however, is that the marketing expert she's paired with is her ex-fiancé's brother, Max. Lena has hated Max ever since he convinced his brother not to marry her, which resulted in her being stood up at the altar 3 years ago. With Lena and Max now being forced to work together, will it result in hate or love? Let's get into it.
Okay, so we start with a prologue, which is 3 years ago. In this, Max receives a text from his older brother, Andrew, that basically says, everything you said last night makes sense. Thanks to you, I can see the truth now. I can't marry Lena. Need you to break the news.
That's like such a shitty thing to do.
Yeah, and today is Andrew's wedding day. Yep. Max cannot even remember what he said to his brother Andrew that night before because they all just got wasted. But he assumes it was something like, being single for life is awesome.
Right.
And then Andrew was just like, well, okay. And then breaks off his wedding.
Didn't take much, yeah.
I know. So Max looks at the time and sees he's overslept and the wedding is about to start soon. Mm-hmm. Max has to go tell Lena, the bride, that his brother's not showing up, which would be just the worst thing to ever have to do. To tell the bride that
right. You would always be that messenger.
Yes. And he is. I mean, he tells her like, hey, Lena, sorry, my brother's not coming today. And she is just in shock. She's numb.
I think she handles it pretty well.
She does. I mean, she's mostly just surprised. Mm-hmm. More so than being like devastated. It sounds like Lena and Andrew had just kind of a stable relationship, kind of stable in a boring way, not in like a comfortable way. It sounds like it just kind of made sense to get married.
They made sense on paper. Yeah.
Right.
Maybe not a lot of sparks.
Not a lot of spark, just like boring stable. She is shocked, but Max starts rambling and apologizes, and he does confess that he apparently said something last night while they were bar hopping, but he can't remember. But also, like, rookie mistake for taking the blame. I wouldn't have taken the blame.
I wouldn't have.
I would not have said, yeah, it was my fault. I said something last night. I would have just said, my brother's a dick and he doesn't want to marry you.
That's what I would have. If he left a note saying, hey, you have to be the one that tells the bride, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah. I'm going to craft the
message.
Changing
the narrative then.
Exactly. But he does confess that he must have said something to make him make that decision. But then Max also does show Lena the text message from Andrew. Another rookie mistake.
Yeah.
And Lena's like, let me get this straight. You guys went out last night, partied it up. You said something that made my fiance not want to marry me the day of our wedding. And now he's gone. Mm-hmm. And Max is like, yep, that's pretty much it. And Lena's like, hey, Max, can you do me a favor? And he's like, yeah, what's up? Anything? And she goes, get the fuck out.
I love that.
I know. So now we're back at present day, 3 years after the horrible wedding that didn't happen. And now Lena is a wedding planner and she's currently executing a wedding for a bride named Bliss. Bliss is also wearing a roughly chartreuse colored dress. Mm-hmm. While she's kind of getting everything ready day of, her friend and assistant, Jasmine, finds her and goes, so there's a bit of a problem with the groom. So Lena's like, oh, man. And just goes straight to the room where the groom and the groomsmen are getting ready and just stops in her tracks. The groom is missing his eyebrows. Apparently his friends thought it would be funny to shave them off when they were drunk the night before.
What? Do you know how weird you look without eyebrows? And do you know how weird you look when someone tries to put eyebrows on you?
I just can't believe.
What would you do if this happened to you?
If Ben
just shows
wedding,
up and he's just bald.
I don't even know. I mean, what can you do? You can't grow them back that day.
This is why you need a good photographer, okay? Because they can Photoshop that shit.
I know. That's really something. Mm-hmm. I also can't imagine not knowing that you walk down the aisle and your groom doesn't have a main facial hair that he's had the whole time. But Lena casually draws on eyebrows the best she can. Mm-hmm. And I guess they do look okay. Good as they can look.
Right.
For fake eyebrows. Mm-hmm. And the wedding goes on. During the reception, Lena is kind of double checking a few things. And then she's approached by a woman, Rebecca Cartwright. Mm-hmm. And Rebecca is related to the groom and just kind of seems interested in how Lena puts everything together and how she handles situations. And after asking some basic wedding planning questions, Rebecca says she has a proposition for her, but this might not be the best time to discuss it. So Rebecca hands Lena her business card and asks her to call her next week. When Lena looks at the card, it says that her title is CEO of the Cartwright Hotel Group.
Oh.
Which is just a very snazzy hotel.
Fancy.
On the flip side, we have Max and his brother Andrew, and they both work for their mother's firm, Atlas Communications, which is just a large marketing firm. His mother just told them that one of their clients, Cartwright Hotel Group, has some new ideas that they would like an account manager for, so she's going to send both of the brothers to meet with them. Mm-hmm. But there is going to be two separate projects. And Max is excited about this because up to this point, he's been kind of tethered to his brother Andrew. He's been waiting for the opportunity to kind of step out on his own. And it sounds like Max and Andrew aren't really that close. And there's kind of a bit of an unspoken competition between the two of them.
Right. And it sounds like the mom always thinks that Andrew's the one that has it together, don't you think?
Yeah, I think Andrew's the older brother, mm-hmm. and she just kind of assumes.
But really, Andrew kind of rides on the coattails of Max's
ideas. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, on the other side of town, we have Lena, and she's visiting her family's shop. And I like the mentions of her Brazilian heritage. I think it kind of makes this book unique. Mm-hmm. But while she's kind of stuffing her face with some bread, a family friend comes in to chat.
My kind of girl.
Marcelo. Marcelo breaks some news to Lena. So Lena has been renting a small space from Marcelo at kind of a lower rent so she can have a business address and a place to meet clients if she needs to.
Right.
But it turns out that Marcelo's business isn't exactly thriving and he won't be renewing his lease that ends in 60 days. And she tries to play it cool, but is internally panicking because of what this could mean for her business.
Right.
She really does need a good location for what she does. But the next day, Lena has a meeting with Rebecca Cartwright, and Rebecca gets straight down to business and tells her that they're rebranding their hotels in several areas. And one of those is their wedding services. So Rebecca's looking for a wedding planner to direct this brand new vision and serve as the kind of public face and also plan all the weddings, which is a big job, I just want to say.
Do you think you could be a wedding planner?
I always wanted to be.
Really?
I think I'm organized. I think I would be stressful.
But yeah, I think you can handle it.
I actually think that I might be.
You would actually be pretty good about it.
That sounds fun.
Okay.
Next life. And she also tells her that the salary will be like $100,000 and she can have a full-time assistant.
She was like, what?
Yeah, she was
six
like,
figures?
Okay, that's like double her current salary she's able to pay herself. So Lena is definitely interested in this opportunity. Mm-hmm. Rebecca does mention that she has another top prospect at the moment. And then Rebecca says that her marketing team is here today and she'd love for Lena to meet them since if she gets the job, they'll be working closely together. So she leads Lena to a conference room and tells her she's going to go get the marketing guys and be right back. But when the marketing guys come in, her heart stops. Because guess who it is?
It's her ex-fiancé that left her at the altar.
At the altar. It's her ex-fiancé, Andrew, and his sucky younger brother, Max.
Mm-hmm.
And Lena does her best to not show her inner freak out.
So hold on. Has a guy ever broke your heart so bad? No?
No.
Oh, we can just stop there?
Yeah,
okay.
What was the rest of it, though?
That you hadn't seen him in a long time, and then you see him, and you're just, like, devastated?
No. I've actually never been broken up with before.
All right. Okay. Here we go. Lives very different.
You have had one, though.
What? Breakup? I've had multiple breakups. Okay, let's move on.
So Lena does her best to not show her inner freak out, and she quickly makes a decision. She stands up and introduces herself, mm-hmm. shakes their hands and says, "Nice to meet you." How would you have handled this?
You mean as Lena or as Andrew?
As Lena, if you were trying to impress a potential new boss.
I think that just in that spur of the moment, I would probably react the same way she did.
Really?
Because I think for me, I would be like, this is a job I really want. And I, in a million years, would not think that he is the one that would have walked through the door. And
right.
I don't think my brain would work fast enough.
I think because I struggle so much with lying.
Mm-hmm.
That I would have to make a joke about it and kind of play it off, kind of like, small world. Nice to see you guys again.
I just picture you like giggling, but also just like.
Yeah. I could definitely see how she made this decision in the moment. I probably couldn't have lied.
I don't know if I would have gone as far as she did.
But I also feel like if in the moment you're like, oh, nice to meet you, new people. It's mm-hmm. hard to backtrack yourself out of that.
That's true. Yeah.
Either way, Lena is now looking at them closely and Andrew just looks as stiff and boring as ever, but Max is looking good.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, either time has been kind to Max or she just never noticed it before, but she likes what she sees now. And she also says, and this might be my favorite line I've ever read in a book, she talking about Max says that he's nice in the eyes and thick in the thighs. And I... This is the greatest line ever written.
You texted me this and I was like, I hope someone says that about me.
I know. It's just the best line. Nice in the eyes, thick in the thighs. Mm-hmm. So good. But the guys seem to roll with her awkward introductions.
I mean, what else would they do?
I mean, they just say, nice to meet you too. And they don't blow her cover on it. Andrew, however, is visibly sweating.
Right.
But Max is kind of putting on a good show. He seems to be reacting faster on his feet than sweaty Andrew in the corner.
I feel like Andrew should be sweating.
He's got more to lose here.
Right.
Or it's like his ex-fiance and they haven't spoken.
No.
Since he ditched her at the altar.
Right. You're the one who stood her up. You should be the one sweating.
Yeah, I'm glad he's sweating. Anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Rebecca explains that she's going to split them into two teams. There's going to be one marketing rep and one wedding planner because there is another wedding planner that's being interviewed for this job. So they'll have 5 weeks to prepare a pitch to her and then she'll make the decision on which wedding planner she's going to go with. So Max and Lena team up. Obviously, she's not going to work with her ex-fiance, Andrew. Andrew will partner with the other wedding planner. So Max and Lena exchange numbers and she promises to call soon and then she leaves. And Andrew and Max make an agreement then to not really discuss their business in this for the next 5 weeks as well. So the next day, Lena is at a bridal shop helping her cousin try on some wedding dresses. Mm-hmm. And she tells her about the job and they're shocked for obvious reasons after hearing the story, but also because she lied about knowing the brothers, because that's so out of character for her.
Right. The one thing I did love about this scene, though, is that Lena's just like offering suggestions about the wedding dress because she wasn't too pumped about it. She's like, what do you think about a jumpsuit?
And I love this idea.
So I do think with the right person, right personality, someone can pull off a jumpsuit. But she was like, she's like, pockets, bitch. You get to have pockets. And I was like, I love a dress with pockets.
Recently, Ben asked me, like, what is it with women and pockets? And I was like, they don't give them to us.
It's
like a special thing for an outfit to have pockets. Yeah. So it's exciting.
And it's just nice to have some place for your hands to go. Like if you're just like,
it's just like a novelty. Like, oh, I never get a pocket.
Ooh,
pockets.
I can put something in this.
Yeah.
You know?
But like whenever you do have pockets, like you're not used to needing pockets to put things in. So you don't actually use them, but it's just like, pockets.
If there's pockets, my hands are in there. And I'm just like, woo.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just like twirling around. Yeah. I love it.
So I love the idea of a jumpsuit with pockets.
I know, it's adorable.
Yeah.
I have seen cute outfits like the wedding dresses where there's like a jumpsuit but then like an attached skirt.
Oh,
type
I like
of thing.
That. I've seen that. Nice. That's really cool. I like the idea of like you're dancing and then you just like whip the skirt off and there's a jumpsuit. I kind of imagine
ready to party
the wedding jumpsuit to look kind of like an
it's
Elvis
like the
situation
of the dresses.
Yeah,
it's a mullet dress.
I like it. Is it too late to rethink my outfit choice?
Business in the front, party in the back.
Okay, so as they're walking out of the bridal shop, Lena starts kind of talking some smack about Max and it's just like, I can do this presentation without him.
Right.
He is not needed for this. I am the important one. Mm-hmm. He is like second rate here. And then her cousin starts making those eyes at her, trying to give her a hint.
Ladies, you know what those eyes are.
Those eyes.
When your friend
gives you the eyes, you stop talking. But instead, her cousin's like, eyes, and she's like, yeah, Max sucks. And like, she like keeps going on and on until Max speaks up behind her and she realizes that he's been standing there listening the whole time.
She's like, he's right behind me, isn't he?
Yep. Yeah, he is, girl. Yeah, he is.
Didn't you see my eyes?
Yeah. And then Max tells her, if we're going to keep this charade going and also win this job, we should probably get on the same page. So,
which I feel like Max is making more sense.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, she needs to remember he's not the one that stood you up.
But in her mind, he is the one who convinced her fiance not to marry her.
I think 3 years, even if he said any words like, hey, you shouldn't do it. Obviously, he didn't want to marry her. Like, what words did he say that were just like, oh, my gosh.
Right. That's true. I would like to think that my fiance is not easily swayed by a drunk friend.
If I went to Ben the day of the wedding, I was just like, you know what? Kristen is a garbage person.
I would like to think he'd be like, you suck. I'm like, going to go get married.
You need to go.
Right.
Exactly.
Good point. Let's not test it, though. Okay. So So they do agree to meet in a half hour for lunch. Mm-hmm. And the lunch actually seems to be going pretty well. Once they get into the business talk, they seem to collaborate well together. And Max tells her that he can shadow her to see her in action and better help market her. And she's on board with this plan.
Right.
But then the food arrives. So they're eating at a traditional Brazilian restaurant. Mm-hmm. And Max hasn't had Brazilian food before. So when his plate arrives, she kind of scoffs at him because he didn't order it with the peppers. And mm-hmm. she's basically like, it would be too hot for you anyways.
And he's like challenge accepted.
Yeah, like a challenge. Yeah, he's like, this is apparently a straight dig to my masculinity. So he orders a serving of peppers.
Men.
So whenever he gets peppers, he promptly takes like a giant bite into one. And at first he's like, oh, that's not bad. And then it starts to burn its way down his body. Right. And he can like barely get words out. It's so hot. So now they're basically like growling and like she actually growled and they're scowling at each other. Mm-hmm. But then Lena decides to take the high road. She's like, you know what? I'm sorry for the last few minutes. I'm under a lot of pressure and stress and I'd like to rewind and kind of start over. And he's just like takes a deep breath and agrees. And he just asks her, like, is there anything you could do to relieve the stress you're feeling? Mm-hmm. And he's like, as in like a sport or activity. And then he tells her he actually attends a weekly Brazilian martial arts class. Mm-hmm. And it's tonight if she wants to join him. And she's, first of all, surprised that he attends a Brazilian martial arts class. Mm-hmm. And she's hesitant to go with him. But she says maybe. And he tells her that he'll send her the information in case she decides to come. So that night, Lena does decide to go to this class. And she drags along her friend Jasmine.
But she goes because she thinks that Max thinks that she won't go.
It's just like a competition, yeah. Basically. And Max eventually shows up looking pretty fit, mm-hmm. with abs visible through his t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how strong your abs have to be to just, like, find their way through.
Don't know, never been
100%
there.
100% cotton. She also notes that his forearms are looking pretty good, and she wonders if his muscles are due to excessive masturbation.
That made me laugh.
And she's like, now that I look, like, his
one
right arm
is bigger
does
than the
seem
other.
Bigger.
But do you know how much you must have to masturbate
for your forearm
to be one arm visibly bigger than the other?
So the class starts, and Lena soon learns that this is the first class Max has ever been to, even though he had earlier given the impression that this is a regular thing he attends.
Right.
It is not. They become partners for a little bit, but it turns out that Lena has done this before at home with her brother.
She's about to kick some ass.
Yeah, and so quickly Max is like, I think I need a different partner who's like more of a novice.
Because she kicks him down, right?
Yeah, something like some sort of like fan kick, yeah. Takes him out. She's... And he's like, you know, I'm going to need someone else to work with. So the next day, Lena texts Max and requests a truce.
Well, I think it's funny because she does end up talking to Jasmine.
Yeah.
And Jasmine's like, it's like someone told you to flirt and then you flashed him your tits. Like, all we said was just like, play a little prank on him. But you were just like, all or nothing.
And she's that way. That just might be her personality, I think.
Well, I think she's also not used to like pranking people.
No.
So she's just taking it to the most extreme.
Have you ever pranked anybody before? I'm not a big prankster.
It's a lot of work.
It is. Yeah. I can appreciate a prank if it's not on me. I don't like to be pranked.
I don't like surprises either.
I like
which is
good
funny
because
I feel like I've done a lot of surprises lately for you where I'm like, ha, got you again.
You like to surprise me.
Well, it's so
but
easy.
But you always just try to make me cry like in a good way.
That's my goal. Yeah. But yeah. Like just out of my happy tears.
Yeah. That bridal shower was really good. Looking back, I can't believe I didn't see it coming, but I was very surprised.
I mean, at no point you thought we were actually going to do it?
No. Nope.
Wow.
I just kind of...
Man, we're good. Or you just need to start questioning your friends a little more.
Yeah, I'm a little too trusting, I think. So the next day, Lena texts Masks.
2020.
The next day, Lena texts Max. The next day, Lena texts Max.
You guys know what she's saying.
And requests a truce.
Again.
She also tells him that later today she's meeting a client for a cake tasting if he'd like to come along and use this as an opportunity to shadow her
and
for the first
time.
He's
like, oh yeah.
He's like, a truce and cake both sound good. At the cake tasting, Max seems to be thoroughly enjoying this process because he tries upwards of like 8 different cake frosting combinations with the groom who's there to pick out his groom's cake.
And she thought this was going to be like a prank on him again because this is the most indecisive groom she's ever met.
Yeah, but it turns out Max just loves to eat cake.
He loves
cake. So he's good with it.
He was like, I accept this challenge.
I'll try them all. after Max might be in a little bit of a cake coma, but he seems like he's in a happy cake coma.
Right.
And when the groom leaves, Max and Lena are at the table and she chuckles at him because he looks like a, she says he looks like a cake drunk chipmunk. And he has frosting on his eyebrow and on his cheek.
Mm-hmm.
And she also notices that he looks adorable.
Aww.
And she starts to wipe the frosting from his face and they lock eyes for a second. And it
first
seems
touch.
Like she wants to kind of jump his bones a mm-hmm. little bit, but they quickly snap out of it and leave the cake place.
Mm-hmm. Could you imagine like growing feelings for your ex-fiance's brother though? I mean, it
the
just seems so complicated.
Is so complicated. Well, and we talked about this a little bit with mm-hmm. Man Crush Monday. If like you date one brother and it doesn't work out, could you swivel to the next one?
Right. Oof, I don't know.
The concept of sleeping with brothers mm-hmm. and marrying into that family is weird. Like looking at your mother-in-law in the eye and being like, I've been with both of your sons. It's like a lot.
I've seen both penises.
Both great. So later that night, Max is hanging out with his friend Dean, but Dean can kind of tell that Max is distracted. So he makes him tell him what's on his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And Max tells him all about the Cartwright group job and how Lena's one of the planners. And he also says that ever since their first meeting, he started to feel some things for her.
Some stuff.
He's got some feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And his friend is like, dude, no. There are so many reasons not to go for Lena.
All right. He's like, there's like 100 reasons. He's like, well, give me the top 10.
He was like, she was going to marry your brother. Your mother would kill you. You'd make your already bad relationship with your brother
way worse.
You've spent so much time trying to get out of Andrew's shadow that this would be a huge setback for you.
He's like, what else you got?
And he's like, also, like, maybe it's all in your head and Lena thinks you're crazy and this is just all for nothing.
Right.
And Max is like, those are good points. Mm-hmm. I agree with those things.
I'll but take he those still into consideration.
Just can't get her out of his head. A few days later, Max goes to the church to shadow Lena while she preps for a different wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And when he walks in, she immediately notices how cute he looks and she can feel his eyes on her too. So one of the grooms is on call at the hospital he works at. So during the rehearsal, he has to run off and take a call. So Lena steps in so the videographer can get what he needs to do his test.
Mm-hmm.
So standing up there at the altar gets Lena all in her head a little bit about her wedding that never came to be. And she just starts to get a little emotional hearing the other groom's vows.
She never made it to the altar.
I know. And also the other groom had written like the most beautiful vows groom to be. It was so sweet. But Max is watching and he can see that she's getting emotional up there. So he makes a comment about spring allergies and offers to stand in her place, which is so
very
sweet.
And I love how Max just embraced this character.
Yes.
He was just like, oh, these are sweet words. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Yeah. And Max is like, oh, like your husband to be is a lucky man. But while Max is playing groom, she realizes how much she does have unresolved feelings towards him.
Mm-hmm.
And she really does now realize like she wants to know what he said to Andrew that made his brother not want to marry her.
Yeah. Because I think she secretly just doesn't want to hate him for this.
Yeah. So during the next week, Max reaches out to Lena to see if anything else is going on. So she responds to him and says that she has a meeting that he can come to on Thursday and that she's visiting a venue a few hours away on Saturday that he can also come with her.
Mm-hmm.
So on Thursday, he shows up at the address that she provided to him. He walks in and sees her entire family and extended family in the room. And they do not look happy to see him. She was like a two birds, one stone kind of gal. She mm-hmm. was like, okay, you can shadow me for my cousin's wedding prep meeting, but also my family can kind of like needle him mm-hmm. and get some info out of him.
Because her family seems really tight and they also hate everything about like Andrew and Max.
Yes. And Max is kind of awkward around them because he can tell they don't like him.
And doesn't he also say, I want to remind you, I'm not the one.
Yeah, he was like, I was the messenger.
Right. But also, she deserves better than him.
Yeah.
She deserves somebody that can embrace your family. Andrew couldn't do that. He was just like making a case for why what happened
basically saying that she deserves so much more than Andrew would have been able to give her.
Right.
And Andrew was just not the man for her. She deserves someone to love her unconditionally, love her family unconditionally,
right.
support her in her business endeavors, just really be a full person in her life.
Right. And a person where she can tear down her walls.
Yes. That is a safe place for
her. Safe harbor. Right. Which is funny because then her cousin was just like, that's like her worst nightmare.
Yeah. Isn't being vulnerable is her worst nightmare. Mm-hmm. Showing that more like raw side of her.
Right.
She never does. But he was like, that's the person she needs.
That's what you need.
And so she hears all this huge confession that he's made in front of her family.
She's like, I need a minute.
She goes to the restroom. Mm-hmm. And the time that Lena was in the bathroom, her family has basically fully accepted Max as part of their family. She comes out and they're like, Max, dance with us. We love you. And now they're all dancing and having a great time together. Mm-hmm. But Lena decides that she's going to prove how much she doesn't care that Max is here by dancing her heart out like she would if it was just her with her family. So she hits the dance floor and starts moving and shaking.
Doing some sexy dancing.
Mm-hmm. And when she opens her eyes and sees Max, he is locked in on her bod. Mm-hmm. And is just like watching her move. And then Max kind of panics and runs out.
He's like, I gotta go.
He's like, ugh. And she chases after him, but he just tells her he's not feeling well and needs to leave. But he was obviously so enamored by her hips that mm-hmm. he needs to bolt.
Quieter. Raging boner.
Had a little twitch down there watching those hips move. So it's now Saturday and they're on a quick road trip to visit a wedding venue. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other day, as a side note, Max's brother Andrew brought up something about how Lena used to be a paralegal. So on the drive, Max casually asks why she made that career switch from paralegal to wedding coordinator. Mm-hmm. And Lena tenses at the question and says, you know, it's just old news, and kind of brushes it off. And after a moment of silence, Max makes a comment about how he hates that Andrew knows her secrets because he doesn't deserve them. Mm-hmm. And she's like, and you do? And he tells her quietly, I'd take better care of your secrets.
Aww. Oh. That's a very sweet and intimate thing to say.
It is, definitely. They decide to just talk business the rest of the drive, and they're starting to make some progress on her brand and their pitch idea when they pull over for a restroom break, except when Lena goes to start her car again after, it doesn't start. Dead battery. Mm-hmm. So they call for a tow, and thankfully the driver will take them to the hotel venue they were going to visit and tells them they can pick up the car tomorrow.
Right, because they're in the middle of nowhere.
So they get to the venue and someone is waiting for them there and gives them a tour of the property. And the only problem is that they're squeezed in the back of a truck together. And at one point, the truck hits a bump and she grabs for Max and ends up grabbing his junk. Mm-hmm. And she's so shocked.
But she doesn't move her hand.
She doesn't even move her hand.
Because she's frozen. He's frozen. He's just like,
he has to be like, can you unhand me, please?
And she's like, yeah, sure.
Whoops. Mm-hmm. No problem. They ask the woman giving the tour if they have an extra room available at the inn tonight because of their car trouble. And she says that all the rooms are full because they're hosting a couples retreat this weekend. But they could stay in the barn. The barn.
Like Mary and Joseph.
A bit later, they're arguing outside this barn. And one of the owners of the inn comes up and assumes they're a couple arguing. Mm-hmm.
They're like, you clearly need some help.
Yeah. And this person asks them if they want to join the couple's retreat and then says that they do keep a spare room open just in case of a last minute addition. Mm-hmm. And they decide that this couple's retreat is worth having a bed mm-hmm. than sleeping in a barn tonight.
So they're going to pretend to be a couple.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the first activity they join for the couple's retreat is a hilarious
one.
Oh,
my goodness.
They get in those giant clear balls that you like run and bump into people with. Mm-hmm. And Lena almost immediately gets knocked over and has like a giant Humpty Dumpty moment and she can't get back to her feet. So she has to lay there until Max is done running around for a minute and can help her up. But the activity seems to be good for them because mm-hmm. they bond and
they're
they
laughing.
Also get some aggression out they probably had. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I've always wanted to do this.
I know, it sounds like a lot
of fun. It sounds so fun. But the next activity...
Can we do it at your wedding?
Yeah. In the sand.
Yeah.
The next activity is more of an emotional activity.
Oof.
So
feelings.
I know. Everybody in the retreat is sitting in a room and they have to tell their partner three things they wish the other would or wouldn't do. So Max offers to go first mm-hmm. and he tells her his three things. His first one is he wishes that she would open up to him more. And the next thing he says is that he wishes they could get past their history together. And lastly, he says that he wishes she could see the potential in them because he knows there's something between them. and he wishes that she could see him with new eyes, which is a big one.
That's heavy.
I know. Selena like takes a deep breath and she goes next.
She's like, okay, we're doing this. Okay.
Yep. Okay. She starts by saying that she wishes he could be less oblivious to what he's asking of her when saying she's closed off, because of course she gets sad and angry, but she needs a safe place to do that. And she confesses to him that she was fired from her previous job as a paralegal for being too emotional, and that women don't get to be emotional in the workplace because
they do not.
Yeah, it's different. I mean, when you see a man heated in a meeting, powerful,
you know, aggressive, and yeah, he's just
in control.
But when a woman does it,
she's weak and
emotional.
You're nervous around her, mm-hmm. and you can't be trusted.
Right.
And
they act like we're just like skittish cats, and we're just like,
yeah,
you know, about to blow any minute.
Yeah,
full of emotion.
Right.
I don't get it. But that's one thing. Like, for me, I don't ever want to cry at work.
Oh, of course not. The second thing she says is she wishes that he would stop comparing himself to others, specifically his brother,
mm-hmm.
because he's now made a few comments up to this point about how he always feels like he's in second place.
Right.
With his brother. And this whole experience seems to really open them up to each other. And it seems like it was a positive experience for them. So after they get a quick dinner, they get back to the room, take showers, and lay on the bed. And they're both clearly still deep in thought about what they just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And they both can tell they want to say things. But Lena starts with, you know, you and me, it wouldn't work. There's just too much baggage here. And Max says, so what you're saying is you're not looking for a commitment. And Lena's like, right, but I'm open to companionship.
Yeah, girl.
Yeah, girl. And then things start to escalate.
Yeah, I feel like as soon as these words were spoken, they just like went for it.
It was like a switch.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I wish you'd let me touch you. Let me kiss you. Let mm-hmm. me make you come. And she's basically like panting at this point.
She's like, yes, please.
Yeah. So he pushes her up against the wall, locks her in, and kisses her. And he pulls back and is like, what are you thinking?
Mm-hmm.
And she tells him, she's like, I want this to be the worst sex I've ever had, so it's easier to walk away. And he's like, prepare to be disappointed. Ooh, baby. Now, what I like about them having sex is they talk it all out.
They do.
Together. He's like, let's give ourselves the best chance for success here.
Right.
He's like, so they start just openly saying what they like, what they don't like. And then he just like swings her leg over his shoulder and goes down on her.
Right. So it sounds like he's like down on his knees, right?
Yeah.
And then she just swings her leg over the shoulder and he's just like, nom, 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 nom.
Yeah. And so they move to the bed. She's ready to mount him,
mm-hmm.
condom in hand. And when she opens the condom, it's empty. And it turns out it's a like joke. It's a gag
condom.
Which, what a horrible
That's
joke.
That's the worst prank ever.
The worst prank.
The result of a prank on a condom is 18 years with a child.
And Max is like, well, that was the worst sex ever.
Right.
And she's like, don't be so sure. And just swallows his dick like a popsicle. Mm-hmm. I mean, she is just getting after him. But that's as far as they can take it
mm-hmm.
without a real condom. So they wake up the next morning and the car is fixed and it's ready and it's time for them to go. On their way out, Max mentions there's a flower field close by that he overheard someone talking about that he thinks that she would enjoy. So they should go check it out on their way out of town. And it turns out it's beautiful and they're kind of walking around. They enjoy the scenery. They're both relaxed.
Just taking it all in.
Taking it all in. And then...
And surprise, surprise.
Yep. On their way back to the car, he just picks her up, puts her on the hood of the car and mm-hmm. kisses her. And then she slides his hand between her legs
mm-hmm.
and he gets to work. And then he surprises her with the golden ticket. Real condom.
She inspects it, doesn't she? She's like, let me make sure this is real.
And he's like, no, I got it this morning from somebody. And they bang it out for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pretty great moment for them.
Right. Just on the hood of the car. And
it is
in a flower field.
It's pretty intense, too, because mm-hmm. he makes her open her eyes to look at him. And then her heart is, like, bursting open because mm-hmm. she's like, oh, feelings and sex and, like, connection. But they do make plans to see each other for dinner in a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And Max is trying to play it cool because he knows she's kind of flighty
mm-hmm.
and doesn't want to spook her with anything too serious.
Right.
But she offers to cook him dinner on Friday, and he is pumped. He even, like, picks up a dessert. He's like... I'm ready. And when he gets there and he walks in, he can tell she obviously ruined dinner. It's in
burnt.
The oven, probably smoking, and she's kind of bummed. But
also
she's
like, this isn't about dinner, though.
Yeah, she's like, dinner was not the main event tonight anyways.
Right.
And just leads him back to the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And before he knows it, she is riding him like he's a roller coaster at State Fair. And woo, it's good times for them. And they make plans again to have dinner at the hotel that they're trying to market just to try the dinner menu out. And they're ordering drinks, having a great time, when someone puts their hand on Max's shoulder and he turns around and it's his childhood friend, Nathan.
He's the manager, or he owns the restaurant?
Yes, exactly. And Lena starts to panic because that means Nathan also knows Andrew. And Nathan was also invited to their wedding.
And Nathan's looking at her like, you look familiar.
He's like trying to place her.
And she's like, no.
And then at this same moment, Rebecca Cartwright comes over and is like, oh, how's the hotel staff treating you?
Right.
And then Nathan at the same time is like, I know where I know you from. You were engaged to Max's brother, ooh, Andrew. Oh, like dun, that dun, dun. Is worst case scenario. Mm-hmm.
It's all out.
Rebecca's there.
Now she knows that they lied.
And Rebecca's like, I may have missed a memo here, but we'll discuss it on Monday.
Oof.
And walks away.
It's like the worst thing you could say to someone.
Like, we'll talk about
it. It's like when your parents are like, we'll talk about it when I get home.
You're just like, no. Talk about it now. Punish me now.
Time to run away.
Yeah. Get my knapsack. So after Rebecca walks away, Lena just like quietly excuses herself to go cry alone in the bathroom. And Max comes in to find her. And this is a big moment for Lena because he kind of talks her out of the stall and she comes out and lets him see her in this moment. And this is the first time she's being vulnerable with somebody.
Yeah. Crying in front of them.
Yeah. And he does his best to make her feel better. And
I like the whole time he's like, yeah, it's busy. Like,
yeah,
telling
people
to leave.
Like trying to get the restroom.
Like, we need to go.
And he's like, oh, it's a big flood.
Yeah.
Nope.
She's having menstrual problems.
Yes. But he does his best to make her feel better, and they agree to get...
Because who better to help with menstrual problems than a man?
Than a man. Like, oh yeah, bloody nightmare in here. I got under control. So they get dinner to go, and then they go home and bang it out.
Bang it out.
So it's now Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And the time has come for Lena to meet with Rebecca. And Lena handles the situation in the best way possible. She is just fully honest. She tells Rebecca the whole story that she was previously engaged to Andrew and hadn't seen him since the wedding was called off. And when Andrew and Max walked into the office, she was so shocked. And she also didn't want to show emotion in front of Rebecca, so she just played it off. And then she also goes, and in full disclosure, Max and I are now seeing each other. And Andrew doesn't know. And Rebecca's like, good God, this is like a soap opera. This is a lot.
Right.
And Lena, you know, starts to stand up and, you know, thanks her for her time and apologizes that she let her down.
Mm-hmm.
But Rebecca stops her and says, you know, I appreciate the honesty and I can understand the hesitation to show weakness or emotion in the office. So if you want to be considered still, you know, I expect to be wowed on presentation day.
Do you think her reaction would have been different if it was a man? Do you think she understood because she's a woman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so, too. I don't often think about like being a woman in the workplace.
Really?
Yeah.
You're a woman in the workplace.
Yeah. There's been one time in like the recent past that I've been made to feel like I wasn't good enough because I was a woman.
Mm-hmm. I think that's why I like that this book called that out a little bit, just how women always have to be a certain way. It's always in the forefront of our mind that we have to be a certain way. We can't be too emotional. It's just a lot that I don't think men have to think about.
Yeah, it's like you women have to be strong, but not too strong because then you're scary.
Right.
I do like how this book called it out.
Yeah.
So that same day, Max is talking. I'm like mad now. I'm like, oh,
sorry.
So that same day, Max is talking to his buddy, Dean, when he has this whole epiphany moment about his feelings and realizes that he wants to make this work with Lena. So he jumps in an Uber and goes to her office to see her. And when they're together, they agree to go to lunch. They start kissing. And then they hear someone clear their throat by them. And they both look over. And it's Andrew. And Andrew is snarky. That's how I would describe him. Snarky.
Yeah.
And he goes on this long-winded stream of consciousness about how Max is clearly her second choice. And that after he ended their engagement, she asked him to reconsider. Which
was news to Max.
Max did not know that Lena went back to Andrew.
And that stung pretty bad for him.
That is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
But then Andrew ends it with a zinger. And he's like, oh, and as an early wedding gift for you two, I told you in that text that you convinced me not to marry her, but that's not true. Mm-hmm. I just blamed it on you to make it easier for me.
Right, because I'm a garbage person.
Yeah, I don't know why he would confess to that.
That's something I feel like he should have just went to his grave with.
I was going to say, like, keep that one close.
Right. I mean, no one would know.
It just makes you look even shittier than you already are.
Right. Right. If anything, you're absolving him of the guilt that he felt.
Yeah.
Because he had nothing to do with it. You're just a piece of shit.
Yeah. So Andrew, after he just drops those bombs, walks off, and Lena's like, whoa, I feel like I was in the Twilight Zone for a second right there.
But I feel like she handled it way better than Max did. Max was just like...
Lena was just like, that was weird.
Yeah.
Wow. But then Max is like,
It like hits him all of a sudden. Like, how is this going to work between us? What are we doing?
Yeah, because he's now thinking about the things that Andrew said. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to be stuck in his brother's shadow.
Right.
Living the life that his brother walked away from. Mm-hmm. Loving the person that his brother loved first and who loved his brother first. And
please, they didn't love each other.
Wondering if he's going to be second best the rest of his
life.
That's
what he's worried about.
Yeah.
Because
Lena asked for...
Max dated somebody. So I think this is where
the
Max
deep
is struggling. Right, because Max dated somebody, and when she met Andrew, she was like, oh, I could do better than you. I could have somebody like Andrew.
Oh.
And then so she broke up with him. Not to date Andrew, but just to be like, I deserve
more.
There's
more out there than you.
And that was just like a huge blow.
Yeah, and then for now, Max to realize that, you know, Lena didn't walk away from Andrew.
Right.
She asked for Andrew back.
Yeah.
But Andrew walked away.
But I think she only did that because she felt like she had to fit this pattern in her life.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm supposed to get married now. And he seems like an easy person to live with.
Yeah. After all of these feelings and thoughts. And
it's too much for him.
It's too much. And he just decides, you know, like, this is never going to work between us. Mm-hmm. And so while Lena is thinking like, wow, I dodged a bullet with that loser Andrew.
Right.
Max stops her and is like, we were doomed from the start. This
She's
will
like,
never
great.
Work. And while she wants to fight for him, she doesn't know what she could say that would make him feel like he wasn't second best.
Mm-hmm.
So she holds strong and goes, look, I think you're selling us short, but I'm not going to beg you to be with me.
Right.
But I know we can handle this like adults. Our pitch is in 2 weeks. Let's just finish this thing and get the job. Mm-hmm. And he says, okay. And after he walks out, she's like, good news. I didn't cry in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
Bad news. Judging by how much it hurts to see him leave, I think I'm already in love with him.
Right.
Ugh. So it's now 2 weeks later. It's now presentation day.
Mm-hmm.
And Lena gives an awesome and confident presentation to Rebecca, and it just goes flawlessly. She looks great, she feels great, and Rebecca seems super impressed, and Max watches her, and he's so proud of her.
Right.
And after Rebecca leaves, her and Max hug, and they're both so proud of what they brought to the table. And as Lena is leaving, Max stops her and says that if it's okay, he'd still like to accompany her to her cousin's wedding, which was they had initially agreed to go together. And she says, yes, he can come.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's wedding day for her cousin, and Lena's at the office getting some last minute things done when she gets a call. And it's Rebecca offering her the job.
Mm-hmm.
And she's ecstatic. And while she's celebrating internally, she hears the door of her office ding. And she looks over and it's Andrew.
Ugh.
And I was like, this guy keeps showing up. Like, come on. But this time he's here to apologize. And he apologizes for how he handled things at their wedding. And he tells her...
Just 3 years too late,
right.
But okay.
But he does tell her, you know, he's got some things to figure out. Oh, and his mother basically fired him mm-hmm. because he sucks at his job.
Right.
And he's like a sad puppy. And I was just like,
whatever.
I mean,
but maybe it was the closure she needed.
Maybe. And it sounds like she was like, okay.
Like she kind of already moved on.
Yeah. I moved on. She's moved on.
Yeah. You need to work on yourself.
Andrew sucks. Mm-hmm. We're good without him. Bye, Andrew. So that night at the reception, Lena goes up to give her speech to the happy couple. As she starts her speech, she sees that Max has showed up. Oh, there he is.
I see you.
And Lena gives a long speech about love and how she was always scared to open up, but she met the right person and it came easily.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, me?
Yeah, he's like, little old me. And during the speech, Max knows that they're right for each other.
Right.
And he no longer worries about being her second choice because he knows that he's the right choice for her.
The right one. I thought that was cute.
I know. And after she steps down from her speech, they have a moment to talk and they confess their feelings and they know they belong together.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just together at last.
Yay.
Happy ever after.
The end.
The end. So what did you think?
I thought this book was really cute and I did like it a lot. I always think it's refreshing when one of the characters is a minority.
Mm-hmm. Same.
I think it's not very common in the romance field, but I think there's more of it coming out now. I know it sounds like it's repetitive and we hear it all the time, but I do think representation matters. And I think for a woman that is Brazilian American, just reading this and being like, oh, I see myself in a romance now, you know, and it's kind of nice. I thought that was really good. And I also like the fact that the author brought up the issues that women have to deal with in the workplace, how we manage our emotions. You know, we can't be, you know, crying and emotional and hysterical because that's how they define it. But, you know, if a man gets really upset or aggressive, they're just like, oh, he's passionate.
He's strong.
Right. Which is not. No. You know, so I'd like that part of the book. What did you think?
I feel the exact same way. I always think it's interesting to read a little bit of the heritage. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really liked it. I thought it was a cute book. I liked their story. It's always hard for me to get on board with dating two brothers.
Right.
But I do feel like this one handled it well. Like I was on board with this one. Mm-hmm. It felt like it was far enough removed from the first brother. I definitely felt the chemistry between Lena and Max.
Right. And I do like how Andrew was pretty much sent away. Like he went to Atlanta or something. I was like, yeah, bye.
Yeah, don't need you. I loved that she was a wedding coordinator. I thought that the whole working towards a presentation was really fun. Mm-hmm. My favorite scene or section of the book was the couple's retreat.
Yes.
I felt like that was a really big turning point for them.
I thought it was really cute.
It was cute. It was fun.
He was just very likable, I think. I thought Max was very likable. And I think after you read so many romance books and, you know, he's brooding and can't read them. And I feel like he laid it all out there. He was like, look, I got feelings for you.
Yeah.
You
know? And he was good at his job. He was like very balanced.
Right.
And it's nice to read a balanced man.
Yes.
And he was just like fun, easygoing. He had a friend in his life. Like he had a good life and she just fit in really well with what he already had. And mm-hmm. same for her. I thought her family was fun. I just thought it was a cute book.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I really did like it.
I definitely agree with the representation of the women in the workplace too.
Right.
That's very important to touch on.
Right. I think people just don't think about it. Well, I think men don't think about it.
And I think that even I don't, I am part of that. I am a female and I work in an office and mm-hmm. I often don't think about the situations I'm put in mm-hmm. just because I'm used to it now. So I like that part of the book. So next week we're doing The Roommate by Rosie Dannon.
Ooh, this book is steamy.
It is steamy.
I just finished it.
It's so good. Well, we hope you enjoyed this week's episode.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and subscribe to our podcast.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Man, I hope we're not boring. That would really suck.